Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
I'm Brick with Professor Sefutu on the line. Professor, welcome yet again.
Thank you so much, Madam. Good afternoon and welcome to you and to the listeners.
I'm welcoming you to a family, and there are no listeners at Radio Pulpit on Heart to Heart. It's just family. So welcome to the family.
Thank you. I'm glad to know the new term. We are all family. Thank you so
much.
Yes.
So today we're talking something called neurodiversity, and somebody might be asking themselves, what exactly is that? What are we talking to? What are we referring to when we're saying something is neurodiverse? What is neurodiversity?
Thank you so much, Madam, and thank you for the opportunity. Neurodiversity has to do with conditions that affect the way a person's brain grows and works. Simply put, it's like that. Now, it begins from the neural network that is part of our nervous system.
Okay.
Amongst the groups of cells, there are those that are called neurons, and they are related to mainly the brain and how it works. And here, as I said, how the brain grows. Now, from even sometimes before the child is born, the growth may be affected by conditions, factors that may be not known at the particular time. And therefore, after the child is born, what parents might pick up, realize, recognize, would be that it looks like this child is not growing the same way as normally a child would grow. That would then fall under a section we call neurodevelopmental disorders or neurodevelopmental needs. We want to understand neurodiversity from different perspectives, but mainly two. The one I'm referring to as neurodevelopmental disorder would fall under what we call the medical model.
Okay.
But from the social perspective, we want to look at what is called neurodiversity because it is more inclusive. It looks at equity for people to be treated in the same way in life, whether they are perceived to be different, slow in how they grow, slow in how their brain works. But we inject an aspect of Bo, Ubuntu, and Bomodimo. Say, if this is a person who has been created by God, we understand that they cannot be discriminated. Hence, we want to include them. Under what we refer as neurodiversity, and where does it come from? This is a term that, at an individual level, was coined by a lady called Judy Singer in 1998.
Okay.
Because she herself was not understanding what was going on with her. She considered herself, she felt different. She saw herself different from other people. And it grew into even her studying about different conditions. She claimed that she had autism and other conditions such as ADHD. But because now when a field grows, we end up having many players who would claim the space, and we are better off looking at it, although it originated with Judy Singer, to say that it actually comes from different sources because the desire, the yearning to promote the positive, to look at people as people and not discriminate them. So sure. Therefore, neurodiversity describes the idea that people experience and interact with the world around them in different ways. It doesn't then make them lesser or looks at them more negatively, but it says that according to this manner of looking at life differently, therefore there is no right way of thinking, of learning, of behaving. There are just differences, and these differences must not be looked at as deficits. Rather, we would rather say that under the umbrella of neurodiversity, we accept people as who they are, and we include them.
Sure.
Now, I have used the word umbrella. It's because there is now a metaphor that houses different conditions under neurodiversity.
Yeah.
The first and the most common now is autism.
But
I think with time, you will allow us to come and speak about all of them in different on different days, and then focus on one, because in themselves, by themselves, they are very, very complex, and we need to go slowly so that family understands what we are talking about. So under this umbrella, as I say, you would have autism, you would have dyslexia, you would have attention deficit disorders, you would have learning disorders, you would have developmental language disorder, many of them. You would have dyscalculia. That is why the word neurodiversity is said to be an umbrella that houses many of these different conditions.
Sure. All righty then. So what is the presentation of one who is neurodiverse?
Okay. Depending on which part of neurodiversity we look at, let me just take the first one that I referred to, dyslexia. Now, dyslexia here. You find that in school, here is a learner who, after many attempts of writing letters, they write letters in a back to front manner. An example, the letter E, as in every day, they would write it like a nine, but that is looking back
the opposite
to front.
Okay.
Yes, and if you are a teacher, then you begin to see that the way this person is writing, it is very peculiar. Sometimes it may be very difficult to even, you know, make a word. Just a mere word, it can be difficult for them to write. That is why it is dyslexia. And then it becomes also difficult for them to conceptualize the meaning of these words, therefore, because the letters are, you know, jumbled all over the place. And there are many of them, but even this one, when time allows, we will talk about it in depth. I'm looking at, in front of me, a screen of a word, teapot. And the example of someone who is dyslexic trying to write a teapot, I'm going to spell it. They start with a T, properly written. Then they start with an E that is looking towards the T, not the other way around.
And the A?
Then the A is also looking back to front.
Opposite to,
Opposite, yes.
So and it would be something, sorry, Prof. So it would be something like, as though somebody wrote something like top.
Instead, but you have not finished the word. Let me complete the word so that you see the complexity of dyslexia. Now, Now, we have said the T is fine, but the A is facing backwards. No, the E is facing backwards. Even the A is facing backwards. What is interesting is the P. The P, instead of it facing forward, it is facing backwards like he was trying to write a Q.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the O, of course, it's easier mm-hmm. to write, and the last T is fine. So you have different aspects of how a person with dyslexia would be trying to even spell a word like this, and it becomes quite problematic. This mm-hmm. has implications in the classroom, where now a teacher who may not be aware of what is going on
mm-hmm.
will see strange, you know, thing in front of them, and they might think, you know, how do I deal with this?
Yeah.
Hence why it's important that family, as in parents, as in siblings,
mm-hmm.
as in grandparents, as in the entire family, you know, are, you know, made aware of these conditions, so that instead of excluding, demeaning, they rather support and help and enhance the abilities that this person might have. We are looking at this scenario, maybe thinking that this person cannot function anywhere. But we have not gotten to a level of finding out what is the ability that this person has, so that we amplify that. We support that.
Mm.
We encourage that and let them thrive.
Sure. All right. So there are depending on the condition that is found or that one is diagnosed with. There will be different presentations. So with autism, it will be something else. With ADHD, it would be something else. Now I've met, I don't know what are they called. I don't know if they even fall under neurodiversity, but I think Professor Sfutu can tell us on that, where you go to the hospital and you find there are babies there, or they are no longer babies, but their heads are very small.
Ah, okay, okay. We would look at that under what we could call Down syndrome. Again,
is it part of Down syndrome? Is it because they don't look like Down syndrome on their faces, but the head is very small. It doesn't develop. And you are told that the brain is not growing.
Yes. There's different ways in which people present.
Okay.
Even those who would have in any of these conditions. That is why basically we generally speak of something called a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there are differences in themselves.
Okay.
And there are different conditions, there are different presentations, and again, one would have to look closely and be able to look at different signs, because we could now equate it a small head and say, okay, fine, automatically it's Down syndrome. Not necessarily. We have to go deeper and scientifically identify. There is a danger of labeling across the board, where we see people and immediately we run to a conclusion that this is this. And that has implications in terms of now having socially diagnosed, let me put it that way, not scientifically, where now the parent would have to be dealing with this condition, and they are told this is what is happening, only to find that that may not necessarily be true.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue of assessment and diagnosis that is scientific, that is done properly by well-trained people, qualified people, should be the way to go, instead of the ordinary popular way of how we normally would label people. Even if you see someone passing by your window, by their gate, you have already judged them. But we are saying that is a teacher of God. Let's give them a benefit of doubt. Let's be closer to them, understand them, help. Let them help us in understanding who they really are.
But now I also ask myself, the Professor Sfutu was talking about us misunderstanding this, and then we have to get to understand they are not different. It's just they are wired differently in their thinking and all. But I found somebody who wears glasses like me, I'm even looking at myself on Facebook now. my eyes look bigger than they really are through the glasses. Yeah. They are magnified. You find when we are young, because we are not taught to accept situations and whatever that I have experienced that children who are taught, they become easy when it comes to accepting others with challenges, stuttering, the glasses like mine, autism and other, and they want to know more. But because of the backgrounds where we come from, even our families who are not even educated, our neighborhoods, or should I say townships and villages where we come from, we are not educated about this. Then it becomes a problem, and you find children laughing at the other. Even older people would call somebody with some deformity, if there is any deformity on their bodies. So how do we change this in the society? Because I think this is a struggle where most parents of the children who are neurodiverse find when now they have to face the world.
Yes. We need to create awareness. We have a group of fathers at the center, related to the center. They are now independent. And the group is called Fathers of Children with Neurodiversity. Together with the Gauteng Department of Education, together with the Randburg Clinic School of Autism and Behavioral Issues, together with the University of Cape Town and many others, we have set a campaign Africa-wide to say we have to start in homes, in families.
Okay.
This came because some of the fathers were saying part of what we struggle with as parents of children with neurodiversity is non-acceptance even from the family.
Yeah.
But remember that difference in itself triggers curiosity.
Hmm.
It triggers a response that may be positive or negative. But when a human mind is dealing with that which is it doesn't understand, it will, you know, react in different ways. Hence why once people become familiar, then they get to realize this is a human being like us.
Mm.
But that pain needs us seriously as a country to go down to the grassroots level, to the level of communities, where even the older person can be able to accept and say, okay, this is what is called autism, although it doesn't even exist in our language. But when they explain it, then I understand. And you'll be surprised that old people even relate that their grandfather of so-and-so was like this.
Mm.
And once we are able to relate and accept and make relationship with what has been happening in our context, we have to be able to accept. And you spoke of children.
Mm.
We have to introduce neurodiversity to children at the young age, because where they are, where they are together, they can easily ridicule and, you know, even bully a child that they think, well, this one has a smaller head than ours.
Mm.
But once we have started at the family level, at the community level, at national level, then we are able to say, people, we have to understand that amongst us, as you said earlier, correcting me, as a family, we may have members who may look different, behave different, but they are us, they are part of us.
Mm.
Ubuntu, that we claim all the time, has to be central to all that we are doing, to all who we are in all aspects of our life.
So what would you say, though, to a family with a child diagnosed with one of these disorders that are neurodevelopmental disorders, or let me say one of the conditions, and they are on the spectrum? Because number one, they themselves are scared to face this when they hear it for the first time. For example, with children diagnosed with autism, the parents would be told, you don't spank him enough. He needs good spanking. If this one was my son,
Culturally, that's what we do, isn't it?
The parents don't.
We're dealing with the
parents. Yeah, the parents. Yes. The parents don't punish him enough. No. Uh-huh. If this one was my son, I'd spank him. You don't discipline this child, and you find the very family finds it very difficult to understand. I'm a mother to a son who's diagnosed with autism. And at some point, my son couldn't sleep for 7 days. Like throughout 7 days, during the day, in the morning, at night, he wouldn't sleep. And I remember some of the advices that I got was spank him and tell him that he's asleep. Because nobody could understand what exactly you're dealing with. So the parents themselves are unsure about this. And they have to face the community. What advice do you have? I myself have learned to teach the community whenever they would ask something, like it's an opportunity for me to teach. But now here are new parents, they just found out. So how do you deal with that?
Okay. Thank you so much for that question. First of all, we have a center for neurodiversity at the University of Johannesburg. Our center is on our Soweto campus. And this center has been started by the Department of Higher Education and Training with the support of the European Union. It is known as the National Hub. Therefore, we are there to support families. There, we train parents. And we are wishing at some point we can bring in siblings. We have trained teachers. We are training educational psychologists and other specialists. Mm. But to your question, what you are saying is very important. I would say to the parents, you are not alone. Mm. Find like-minded people who have children similar to yours, and join them, because that's where we share beyond the book knowledge. We share experiences. Mm. We share the difficulties. We share the joys. We share the hopes. We hold hands together and say to ourselves, we are families of neurodiverse people, and we want our children to succeed like anybody else. Only yesterday, I received, you'll be surprised how far we are so backwards in Africa in terms of understanding this. A message from a doctor in Kenya who said, I'm alone here. And I said to her, okay, let me immediately introduce you to a group of mothers who also have children with neurodiversity.
Okay.
That lady is not aware that in the middle of the city, Nairobi, in Kenya, there is a lady who has a neurodiverse child. What did she do? She opened a restaurant, and in that restaurant, only youth with ADHD and autism are employed. This is her mission. Look at how far my other friend is missing the point, that there's someone next to me who I can hold hands with. So my plea would be that as we live in our communities, let's talk together. Let word of mouth tell us who is there in our space so that we can heal one another, we can support one another, we can encourage one another, and together we can deal with challenges of neurodiversity.
All righty then. Let's take a break, and then when we come back, Prof, is it possible to really have inclusion where with those with neurodiversity? Is it really possible? Or do we look at the spectrum and say, oh, well, this one on the spectrum, no, there's no way of inclusion. All right, let's take a break and then come back to talk to you some more.
Thank you so much.
We're taking a break, taking the sounds of Ngubi Gombata featuring his beautiful wife and Doc Ozo. Have us time. Coming back with Professor Sifutu as we talk about neurodiversity.
Become active. Active in faith. 657 AM. 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
That's where you're at. You're on Radio Pulpit. You're on 657 AM. You're on DSTV Audio Channel 882 on OpenView 607 on www.radiopulpit.co.za. It is harvest time, and gave you the sounds there from Ngubi Gombata featuring his wife, Ndog Ozo. And yes, it is Heart to Heart with me, Usbongile, Dot Driir. I'm with Prof Sifutu. We're just about to wrap up our talk today, but we are coming back. We are going to take these neurodiverse conditions one by one by one. I don't know if medically I'm correct, if if psychologically I'm correct to call them conditions. We will be coming back to take them one by one by one. So be on the lookout. We will let you know on time so you can tune in and know more about dyslexia. Find out more about autism, find out more about any other that's there. So, Prof, is it possible to include? Is inclusion really possible? We're trying to do that. We're trying to bring inclusion in our societies. We're trying to bring inclusion in our churches. We're trying to bring inclusion in our schools. And one thing I was asking Retabile Molapisani some time back was that how possible is this, especially in the school system, where even the teachers are not even trained to deal with neurodiverse children? How do we do that? How do we then include neurodiverse individuals in our societies? So just in a nutshell for today, as we are wrapping up, what is your answer?
My answer is that, yes, it is impossible to include. Let me just read something in front of me that says, inclusion refers to an environment where everyone feels respected and values and has equal opportunities regardless of who they are, regardless of their identity, regardless of their background. Now, in the field of neurodiversity, we speak of a term that is developed by somebody called Claire Britton, who speaks about neuroinclusion. And it is looking at understanding one's neurodivergent identity, the person understanding themselves.
Okay.
Also says, we were talking about children earlier, guiding the child with neurodiversity through what we call affirming care. You were talking about a child being beaten earlier, but once in the space of neurodiversity, now we are talking about affirming care. One space of inclusion, as you rightly say, is the education space. Here we are talking about supporting neurodivergent learners in the learning space by creating what we can refer to as didactic environments, meaning environments that are conducive to learning, that invite learning, that support learning. And lastly, we are talking about neurodiversity affirming practices, where in our homes, in our workplaces, in the mall, in the churches, especially in the workplaces where we would want to see the neurodivergent people there also making a contribution, allowing themselves to feel accepted, to feel valued, to feel someone sees them, that someone accepts who they are. What is important with neuroinclusion is that as societies around the world, we are far behind, we are living far behind, but as long as we make clarion calls to promote neurodiversity and be neuroinclusive, then it is the starting point towards even children in the future understanding when they see another child different from them that, yes, they are different, but I have to embrace them through neurodiversity affirming care and be inclusive.
All righty then. So, Prof, if we'd like to know more, Prof has mentioned many places that we can go to that address neurodiversity. But where would you point us if we want more information about this? Maybe one of us in the house is neurodiverse, or one of us in the neighborhood. Or I've heard people saying, "Ish, in our church." I've heard people saying, "Yo, I met them and I became very close to them. I just met them at, you mentioned mall." I've met people saying, "I met somebody at the mall. They reminded me of you. So what should I do?" Where can we go and get more informed and empowered around this topic?
I mentioned many places, but the most important place that I'm promoting is the Center for Neurodiversity at the University of Johannesburg. We are at the university at the Soweto campus. Our email address is neuroadmin. Neuro is neuro, and then admin is one word, neuroadmin@uj.ac.za.
All right.
Where we are able to assist, we will. Where we should refer, we should, and we do so. But we have a dedicated person who will respond to the communication, and then we point people in the right direction. Only this morning, she was telling me, "I'm attending clients that are coming from outside," that is who we are. Thank you.
Alrighty then. And then on the 30th of April, I know as you had something also happening. Is there something in the pipeline for May that we can know about? Because in April, you hosted the Neurodiversity Awareness and Strategic Campaign. Is there something around May as well that's happening?
There are many activities, but let's look at June now, because we are almost in the middle of May. We have the group of fathers called Fathers of Children with Neurodiversity. On a yearly basis, we have training for them. We want healing. Most of the time, the people that we hear, whose voices we hear in the air, are mothers. Yeah. But we are encouraging fathers to be in a space where they can come and talk about them. I will ask our administrator to include you in our mailing list. As and when we have these activities, we will share them with you so that you are aware which training is happening and who can be able to attend.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prof. May God awesomely bless you. Thank you for the love that you have and the enthusiasm around it. Around this stuff. It's so,
thank you so much.
Awesome. And have yourself a beautiful, beautiful day further.
Thanks so much, madam.
Wow. I'm also grateful for Ndatemo Jakisani, who has made the connections and said, you guys need to talk. And yeah, we are talking now, bringing it to the family of Radio Pulpit. Do remember that if you need more messages right there, or like not messages, but you need more information, you need to know more about neurodiversity. Maybe your child or yourself has been diagnosed with one of these that he has mentioned, that Prof has mentioned, under the neurodevelopmental disorders or neurodiversity conditions that are there that he has mentioned. Remember that you can be in contact with the UJ University on neuroadmin@uj.ac.za. neuroadmin@uj.ac.za, and find out more even about fathers of children who are neurodiverse. Do find out more. Get help. You're not alone. You can never be alone, and you can never be an island. We always need someone supporting us and holding our hand. Alrighty then, let's cross over to the 2 o'clock news bulletin, our last bulletin on Heart to Heart.
It's more than radio. It's a way of life. It is 657 AM.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Pulapula iRadio Pulpit, ukhanyiseleke kweli lizwe elimnyama. Zivulele ngokwakho i-app yethu okanye umamele kuradiopulpit.co.za. Siyafumaneka ku-DSTV Audio Channel 882. Ukanti sikhona naku-OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.